Okay. So the Gemara says over here in the Chesamid Aleph, continuing on to the next sugya, that Kol Makom, next line in the Mishnah, Kol Makom Sheim Machnisim B'Chametz, a person is only obligated to do B'dikas Chametz in the places where you bring Chametz. Now it's apparent from the Gemara that even if you only bring Chametz there sparingly, like once in a while, or even once at all, once throughout the year, that's good enough. Because the Gemara discusses, well, what about places that are hard to reach? So the Gemara says, well, a place that's hard to reach, you probably didn't put chametz there, so you don't have to check there for chametz. I always say, if you have certain rooms that, you know, it's the rule of the house that we don't bring chametz here. We have that in, you know, my house. Not that we're very, you know, big enforcement of rules. It's just understood that you don't bring food upstairs. We have a kitchen for a reason. So then we don't have to check. We really don't have to check the bedrooms for chametz. No one's eating there in the first place. So if you have places no one eats, bichlal, you know, I don't think anyone eats in our garage. You know, no one eats chametz there. So you don't have to check there for chametz in the first place. If it's a place where no one brings chametz. But if you bring chametz there once in a while, like you're in the storehouse where they store wine, and sometimes people will go in there and walk in with the bread, you know, to get the next bottle of wine. Or it's, it's where they're going in to get small fish as opposed to big fish. The Gemara says, big fish, you don't come in the middle of the meal. It takes a whole meal to eat the fish. It's only the small fish. We're eating small fish. We might go back and eat another fish, so we're going to have to go to the storehouse for fish in the middle of the meal, and we might walk in with our bread. Then you would need to check there. So the Gemara goes through a few different examples of places, you know, that was common in the times of the Gemara that people would walk in with chametz, in which case, since once in a while you'd walk in with chametz, it's a makom shemachnisim chametz requires bedika, as opposed to places in the times of the Gemara that was uncommon to walk in there. You would never walk in there with chametz, and therefore, you know, do not require a bedika. So right after that discussion, the back and forth of places that do require bedika, that don't require bedika, and again, that would probably change every place and every time in terms of in every culture and in every home where you do bring chametz and where you don't bring chametz. The Gemara brings up in that discussion 7 lines from the bottom of Braisa. Tano. Let's say you're in a place where it is a malkum shemachnisim b'chametz, but do you have to stick your arm into these kind of the dark places to try and find the chametz? So the Gemara says, no, you don't. The Braisa says, you don't. And they have sakana. My sakana, what sakana? E, namely, sakana's akrav. If there's scorpions there, kimishdamish, hechishdamish. Well, you obviously don't store your cereal there because there's akravim. Why would you store stuff there? So obviously, that cannot be the sakana that's involved. Well, it's tzricha. The Gemara says, no, what we're talking about here is the nafal. You put chametz in there, and then the whole building fell down, or this whole tunnel, whatever it was, collapsed. Enough, Lamali Bedika. 1 minute, the Gemara says, if it fell down, you don't need Bedika, because we have a Mishnah later on in the Flamed Aleph from a base. Chametz enough, la love my poiles. If you have chametz upon which a house fell down on top of it, hare hu kimavuar. That's as if it's already mavuar. That's as it's already destroyed. Hasam, the Gemara says, she'ena kelv yochol chapis achrav. That's only discussing where the dog can't get to it because it's underneath the rubble. Here we're talking about a case where you can get to it because the dog can get to it. So when the dog can get to it, so then you do need that's the shiloh that the Bryce is talking about, right? So the Bryce said, if you have a place that's a dark, dingy place like a tunnel, and it's a sakana to go there, so you don't have to go there to check for chametz. What chametz? And if it's sakana, what are you doing there? No, we're talking about you put chametz there. It is a makom shemachnisim chametz, but a building fell down on top of it. If a building fell down on top of it, you don't have to check there at all. The Gemara says, no, that if a dog can schlep it out, then I might have thought you should do bedikas chametz, but if there's a sakana, you don't have to do it. So the chametz really should have posed the problem because the dog can get it. But since it's a sakana, you don't have to do it. So the Gemara says, well, why am I worried about a sakana? I'm going on my way to do a dvar mitzvah. Amar Rebbe Lazar, we'll discuss this tomorrow, mitzvah Shem, shluchei mitzvah, in and izayik, and a person is on his way to do a mitzvah, he shouldn't be worried about it. Alright, the Kaddish Baruch Hu watches over those who are doing a mitzvah. So Amar Rav Ashi, so why am I worried about the building's going to collapse on top of me, chas v'shalom? I'm on my way to do a mitzvah. Amar Rav Ashi, Shem atovel machat, v'asim gidim basra, and maybe I'm gonna lose something while I'm going in to take care of my chametz, like a needle or some other small item. I'm gonna go looking for it. And when a person is doing that, that's not gonna be a mitzvah. Okay, so the Gemara is gonna explain that. We'll get back to that in a second. So, but what do you see from this Gemara? If you have, place where chametz fell down on top of something, so then it's already kilu, it's mavur. You don't have to worry about that kind of a chametz if you can't get to it. If the kelev can get to it, So then it does create a problem. Let's look later on. That's a mission later on in the Flamed Aleph from the Beis, where the Mishnah says, Chametz shenafal avam apoyles harei kumavur. If you have chametz upon which a house fell down on top of it, it's kumavur. It's already destroyed. You don't have to worry about it. There's no ba'yu ba'yu matze. Amar Rav Chizda v'tzara shi'yavata b'libo. But Rav Chizda says you do have to be mavata the chametz. That's the first Gemara on that Mishnah on the Flamed Aleph from the Beis. So you do have to be mavata the chametz. Why do I have to be mavata the chametz? So most Rishonim are of the opinion that that's only midrabbanan. If the a house really fell down on top of it, it is mavur. Why should it be mavur? Why should it be that if I have chametz, right, I have a loaf of bread, and then the house fell down on top of it, that all of a sudden now I no longer have to worry about the loaf of bread, but the loaf of bread is there. So why don't I have to worry about a loaf of bread midairaisa just because a house fell down on top of it? So I believe that the answer to that is, because the Gemara says myself, this is my own explanation, the Gemara just assumes that it's kemavuar. I think, and just from the language that they're using, what they're really referring to is a concept that's developed by the Gemara but Metzi in a different context, the context of Hashavas Aveda. But the Gemara says, probably we're familiar with this, came across Perek Eul Metzias at some point, but the Gemara says, Minayin la'aveda sheshot fanar, if I have an Aveda which washed away in the river, or in the ocean, shehimu teres, and then someone else finds it, it washes ashore, I don't have to make a hachraza to do Hashavas Aveda. Because the pasuk says in connection with Hashavas Aveda that it was lost from the owner and then I found it. So it's only called an Aveda if it's lost to the owner but it's found to other people. But something that's lost to everyone, meaning no one can find it because it's somewhere at the bottom of the ocean, even if years later or even days later or hours later washes ashore, and now I can, you know, have access to it. Already the owner has relinquished his ownership of it. He's already had yiush. And if he hasn't had yiush, you know, it's kind of almost, you know, yiush by itself. We're not going to get matzias now. But if once the minute it goes into the ocean, it's already his ownership, you know, has been relinquished. Whether because he is aware of it or even if he's not aware of it, have the mechanics of that beyond that discussion. But if it falls into the river and it's not matzuya eitzel kol adam, suffice it to say that his ownership, you know, has been removed. So similarly over here, the fact that this is not Mitsuya Eitzel Kol Adam, this is not accessible to anybody. See, if the dog can schlep it out, so then it is accessible, so then I do have to worry about it. If it's underneath, what the Gemara says over here, if the Kelev cannot get to it, or it's underneath three Tfachim, the Gemara says. That's later on in the Gemara there, on Lamed Aleph Amud Beis. If it's underneath three Tfachim of rubble, which is about like a foot of rubble, and the dog can't schlep it out, then already at that point it's not accessible to anyone and the chametz should not cause me a problem on Pesach. Why then the Chazal say to do bedikas to do bito chametz v'tzar sheyavat to believe him midrabanan? The Rashi there says it's only midrabanan. And that Gemara Lamed Aleph Mabez Shema yipakeh chagal b'moed v'nim soev alav, because maybe you know someone will dig down a foot. And even if the dog can't get to it, you never know where kids are playing. And all of a sudden, the kids will be playing and someone, or there'll be, I don't know, some other natural disturbance. And the rubble will shift. I don't know, it'll be a landslide, I don't know, earthquake or something. And then all of a sudden, now this chametz will become visible. So maybe the chametz will become visible, so you should be mavata the chametz midrabbanan. But midrashis speaking, you don't own the chametz anymore because it's avuda mimeno, avuda eitzel kol adam, like the Gemara bar Mitzia, and no one really owns it. So that's what the Mishnah Berurah there writes, Simitof Lam Gimel Sefkan Lam Gimel, Habito Humidurabban. If you have something that mamish is underneath like a foot of rubble, the dog can't get to it, you're likely not going to get to it, you have to move out to your chametz, but it's only Midurabban, Shemi Pakecha Gabu, Moiv Yover Abal Yira, Avamidurraisa, Eino Over Olof Klau. You don't have to worry about it. Then he goes on to quote a smock. That's what Rashi learns in the Gemara, the classic Rishayim. Ram learns that Gemara Lamed Aleph from the base. The smock, though, says, no, midrashi, you do have to be mavato it. Because he holds, even if it's underneath a foot of rubble, it's still accessible. Even if the dog can't get to it, it's not a voodoo mimena. What, this is gone? This is in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean? This is, you know, it descended into the core of the earth? This thing is right over here. It's underneath a pile of rubble. Okay, it's a tircha to get to it. But all right, but I know exactly where it is. So Smak says, come on, midaraisa you have to be mavato. But even the Smak, the Mishnah Berurah makes the point, even according to the Smak, if nafa olav gal godo, you know, there was a landslide on top of this loaf of bread, no one is getting to this loaf of bread. There's not only a foot underneath this thing, there's like a whole building fell down on top of this thing. Aval nafo alav gal godol she efshel afakeyaf who avam imenu because other mekuliyam amutid lo karina beishocha. So the smak seems to disagree on the detail. He holds a foot is not good enough. You know, the fact that the dog can't get to it is not good enough. But the ma'ase he would, so you have to be mavatal chametz v'derais. But he would agree if a gal godol fell down on top of it, you wouldn't have to be mavatal chametz. You know, midaraisa, maybe midarabana, but even then probably not because no one is getting to this thing over here. This thing is not becoming uncovered. So the smak holds, if it can become uncovered, so much you have to be mavato it, then it's yours midaraisa. It's only, your ownership is only relinquished if it's mamish gone. The other Rishonim held, nah, if it's a tircha to get to it, already it's mavuto, and that's probably how we paskin. The Bir Halacha there says, because of this, since it really doesn't belong to you, let's say it does become uncovered after Pesach. I have a pound of rubble, you know, a foot of rubble on top of this thing, then after Pesach it becomes uncovered. Can I eat it? So Bir Halacha says yes. Because it didn't belong to you over Pesach. That's why you didn't violate by Rabbi Matzah, because it was lost to everyone. But after Pesach, you can have it. So the Bir Halacha says over here, always give me, I'm among the Avram, Shevi, B'Shem, Shilta, Gibarim, V'humei Riyaz, the Mefana, Hagal, Achar, Pesach, Mutar, Afil, Bachila. You can even eat it. He quotes it from the Rashba, who said, Rav Haigoy, and said, you cannot eat it. But even that is probably only because, you know, he was following like the smock kind of thinking. But if Mamash Gal Godol fell down on top of it, you wouldn't have to worry about it. But either way, we seems to be that we paskin not like the Rav Haigoin or like the Smak. If it's just a tircha to get to it, probably no one's going to get there. The dog can't get to it. It's underneath a big pile of whateverness. You don't really have to worry about it. And even later, because it doesn't belong to you, come out already. And therefore, after Yontif, if it would become uncovered, you would even be able to eat it. It wasn't yours over Yontif. This could be relevant, by the way. Let's say a person is building a house, an extension on his house. Does he have to do bedikah? No one's going to get, there's a crawl space underneath the extension. Does he have to do bedikah's chametz there? He's building the thing in January. Does he have to do bedikah's chametz there before he covers it over? Because, you know, chametz is going to, Pesach is coming, and he's not going to get back access to this, you know, area before Pesach again. Or, you know, does he have to crack open his floor to get to the crawl space to do bedikah's chametz? I don't know, we used to use this ground. Maybe we're machnisin and bochametz there. And now all of a sudden it's covered over and no one can get there. So do I have to worry about that? So it sounds like from here, no, you don't. If it's a tircha to get to it, the dog isn't going there, no one else is going to slip out chametz, it's likely not going to become uncovered, you know, unless some sort of natural disaster happens. So you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to worry about it. Even though it was a makom shemachnisin bochametz. So let's say also you have a place in your kitchen. Now you installed cabinets over this place. I have to remove the cabinets to check for chametz? Nah, because that already covered over. It does, whatever was there doesn't belong to you anymore. If we would remove it, and then I find their unopened can of chametz, and I choose to eat it, that would even be permitted, according to this Bir Halacha. Because as long as it was covered over on Pesach, and I didn't have access to it, it wasn't mine, I don't have to worry about it. After Pesach, you didn't even eat it. Yeah, what do you say, Benji?
Last sugya that we did, wasn't the whole machloket about whether or not we could use a torch versus a candle because of the fact that we could like search through cracks and ditches and holes?
Cracks and crevices.
Yeah, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Cracks and crevices are in your room. Every room has cracks and crevices, has corners.
Right, but according to this sugya, wouldn't that kind of throw away that approach?
No, not at all. You have a bookshelf. So you're looking in the corners of the bookshelf. You can't get there with the torch. You can only get there with a candle. Or I have underneath the couch. I'm not going to get there with a torch, but you can get there with a candle. So all these things might have to do. That really brings us to the next really topic. Do you have to pick up the couch? Do you have to pick up the, you know, what about the refrigerator? What about moving the oven? These things move typically. They move. Do I have to move them to check for the chametz that might be behind there? Or do I not? Now, that's not the same as this, really. This, we're talking about mamish, you know, it's buried underneath rubble. It's like, and no one plans to ever move it again, you know, unless some sort of natural disaster happens. A dog can't even get to it. What about these things? They're not really buried, you know, underneath an extension or behind installed cabinets. This is stuff that's movable. It's just a pain to get to it. Do you have to check there for chametz? So that sounds like it's a different sugya. Now, it might be related to this, I guess, if it's really such a pain. Like, no one ever moves them. Such a pain. So then maybe it's, like, buried underneath an extension. But to me, it doesn't really sound analogous. I would more compare it to the sugya on Daf Yoram Ebeiz. The Gemara says over here on Daf Yoram Ebeiz the following. Where is it? Turn to Yudam Ebez. The Gemara has a Shaila. Where is this? By Rava. Where? Here. Three lines up in the narrow lines of the Gemara before you get to the wide lines. So Gemara says, By Rava. Kikar, Bishmei Kaira. What if I have a loaf of bread that's on the rafters in the ceiling? Tzarech Sulam Larida. And I need a ladder to bring it down. Oh, ain't tzarech? Do I need a ladder to go bring it down? Oh, ain't tzarech? Oh, you don't need it. Mi arminin kuli haigla trechu rabban. Do we say so much chazal when I'm a triach you? You'll be mavata the chametz and leave it at that? Kevin lo anokas min avshe. It's not going to fall down on its own. You know, and I'm not going up there with a ladder, so we'll leave it there. Lo asi le michla. Oh, dilma, zim the denof of asi le michla. Maybe it'll fall down. And therefore, chazal required me to do bedikas chametz and to remove it. Vim tim say loyma, zim the denof. Oh, maybe it'll fall down by itself. What if it's in a pit? I need to get a ladder to go down to bring it up. Do I need to do that? Or ain't tzarech? Maybe I don't need to. So here it's not even going to fall down by itself because it's in a pit already. Maybe I'll go down into the pit to do some other thing and I'll come across this loaf of bread and I'll be tempted to eat it. Maybe I'll go down into the pit because I need to get something. What if it's in the mouth of a snake? And I guess it's my snake, or it's a snake in my house. It's my loaf of bread. Do I need to get a friend, you know, to hold the snake while I remove the bread from its mouth? Oh, you know, try in the middle of a snake. Oh, no, you don't have to. They were matriach you so much, and Rava concludes with a teiku. But all these shailas are, you know, these are really a tircha to get to these places. Do I have to be matriach myself so much in order to perform the mitzvah of bedikas chametz? Maybe since these places are so out of the way, Chazal will not matriach me to do bedikas chametz in these places. So the Rambam actually paskin here lekula. We're dealing with bedikas chametz. Was after you did bitul, it was only midrabanan. And the Rambam says they weren't matriach you that much to do bedikas chametz. So kazai is chametz b'shmei kara. Says around parak beis hil chas chametz umatzloch yedalad mechayvin oser lohavi sulam laharit shapamim yipom misham kaira. If you a ladder, I'm sorry, if it's above in the ceiling, then you do need a ladder to go bring it down because it might fall down by on its own. Hayachametz bebar, but if it's not going to fall down on its own, you know you have to go and get it. Ein mechayvin oser laloisai el mavatul beliba. You don't have to go down to bring it up. El mavatul beliba v'daya. Unless it's going to fall down from the rafters, you don't have to worry about it. You know if it's going to stay where it is, then it will remain where it is. Unless someone goes there deliberately to find it, since it's a tircha to get to it, Chazal will not matriach you to go and to do it. The Ravid is not happy with the Rambam. The Ravid is not happy with this entire interpretation of this Gemara. The Ravid understood this Gemara is only talking about, do I have to go there to check for chametz, but not that I know that there's certainly chametz there. If I know that there's certainly chametz there, oh, the Ravid says, he can't be mavatot and just leave it there. Ravid doesn't learn the Gemara like the Rambam. But we don't pass him like the Rambam. Ravid, we pass him like the Rambam. Even if I know bevados that there's chametz there, I know it's there. You could be mavat to it, and that's enough. If it's a tircha to get to it. So according to the Rambam, the Ravid, again, I learned that Gemara was only a suffix if there was chametz there. I'm not sure. Then you could be mavat to it and move on, because it's a tircha to get to it. And chazal were matriach you to go into, you know, to do bedikas chametz there, because of the suffix. The Rambam, though, learned this Gemara that there's vadei chametz in the bottom of the pit. Nonetheless, Chazal were not matriach me to go and to bring it up. You know, kuli haylo etrechuhu rabbanim. And this is the way it's quoted in Shulchan Aruch there. Simin tof lam gimel siv dalin. I don't know why I didn't give it to you, but there the Shulchan Aruch says, exactly like this Rambam, that if it's a tircha to get there, you know, it's too low or whatever it is, and it's a pain, so then you don't have to be matriach yourself to go and bring it up. So the same would be true, let's say, I think that's analogous to the situation of the refrigerator or the oven. Even if I know sometimes that food falls behind, right? You're making pasta and all of a sudden there's a noodle that's missing or, you know, probably some piece of spaghetti fell behind or next to or whatever underneath the oven. You know, you don't necessarily have to move the oven in order to go and find it. If one has children who are really messy, it might be an Indian to do it. But, if you know, in normal circumstances, even though there could be chametz there, maybe you even know that there's chametz there. You don't necessarily have to go and get it if it's such a pain to do it. You don't typically move these things unless there's a problem, right? There's something wrong with the water line or the gas line. Then you might move these things, but otherwise you wouldn't. So then it's such a pain. You don't have to move these items to go and to get the chametz out. So let's say, or you know, you have floorboards, and I see underneath is a piece of chametz that's underneath the floorboards. You don't have to pick up the floorboards to go and get it. It's such a pain. That might be already enough of my playlist. That's like if it's underneath the building. But if it's even if it isn't underneath the building, it's in between the cabinets, and it's a pain, and this and that. No one's going there, so then you don't have to. You probably don't have to move all these things to go and find the chametz. See, the couches. I don't know, couches, I feel like they sometimes move around. I guess if you have like one of these huge sectional couches and no one ever goes, you know, no one ever moves them, then okay. But, you know, every couch and every living room and every den is somewhat different. So if you do move these things once in a while, I think you should probably pick up the couch to see if there's things there. Certainly the couch pillows, I think, is fair. We talked about whether you have to worry about crumbs underneath the couch pillows. It's probably butthole. No one's going to, you know, eat a crumb from underneath the couch pillow. So the Gemara says, Peruin are b'teili v'lo chashivi. So, you know, the crumbs, you know, what's considered chametz is not really a discussion now, but do you have to check there? Is that a malkum shemachnisim of chametz, which is not a gross tircha to get there? So then, underneath the couch pillows doesn't seem to me to be such a tircha. But if it's, you know, really something that's extraordinary, so then it sounds like it's not something you have to do before Pesach Kuli Halo Etrachu Rabbanon. If you see a piece of chametz there, come on. Maybe you should throw something on it to make sure that it's not like staring at you in the face over Pesach. It's not like I see, you know, Cheerios underneath the refrigerator. You should probably do something about that to remedy the situation. But if it's the fact that I know it's there but I don't see it, then that should really be something that is okay. Okay, Rabbi, so let's go back to the Gemara. Chesam et Aleph. So the Gemara said, "What we quoted a brisa. If it's a suffix to sakana to get there, so then what did the brisa say? You don't have to stick your hand into a place that's sakana. What's sakana? If it's sakana zakravim, then you don't use this place to store your cereal. No, it's not sakana zakravim. It's sakana because a building fell down on it. If a building fell down on it, so then it's mavur already. It's as if you don't own it. It's like you disowned it already. So it's kilu, it's already destroyed. The Gemara says, nah, the dog can get to it. The dog can get to it, so it's not mavur at all. So why don't you have to do bedikas chametz there? Because it's a sakana. So since it's a sakana, you know, we let you just be mavato it. You'll be mavato the chametz, and that'll be enough. Even though bito midai raisa is good enough, and midarabana required bedika, as long as you can get to it here, since it's a sakana, we're not going to make you do it. But what are you worried about the sakana? Shulchei mitzvah, and you're going to do bedikas chametz. You'll be protected. Gemara says, nah, you might get distracted and go looking for a needle. So Gemara says, so what? So what? Even if you go looking for your needle or your pen or whatever it is that's in the middle of this rubble, even if you're going to look for the needle, but you're going and doing bedikas chametz, even though you're not doing bedikas chametz, l'shem bedikas chametz, I'm doing bedikas chametz in order to find my needle, in order to find my pen. Nonetheless, you should still receive reward for doing, or the protection for doing bedikas chametz, and not worry about the sakana of atanya. I'm a seller, zulet tzedakah. Person who gives a certain amount of money to tzedakah, b'shvil sheyichye b'ni, in order that my son should be well, or she'eye ben olam haba, or so I should be, or he should be a ben olam haba, harei zeh tzadik gomor. There's nothing wrong with this. There's nothing wrong with it. Those that change the gears are not tzadik gomor. Why is he a tzadik gomor? Because he gave $1 to tzedakah. That's not a tzadik gomor. It means it's tzedakah gemura. The Meiri, the Tzadik Rabbeinu Peretz, change the gears in the Gemara. I raise a tzedakah gemura. This is valid tzedakah. Or he's a tzadik with regards to tzedakah. Okay, but but this is valid tzedakah, so you should receive the protection. So if a person, I'm sorry, he's going to do bedikas chametz, even though he's looking for his pen or his needle, it should be, or sewing pin, it should all still be, valid bedikas chametz, and he should be protected from the sakana. So the Gemara says, no, dilma basa de badik asa liyunu basara. No, we're talking about, he already found the chametz, he's done checking, the mitzvah is over, and he's still plowing through it looking for his pen or whatever other item he lost over there. So the mitzvah is over, that's why he no longer receives the protection of the of Shulchan Mitzvah and Nizoykin, and therefore, since there's some sakana involved, even though the chametz is not kimavur, a dog could have gotten to it. So really, you should not have just relied on bitul alone. Here we'll let you rely on bitul alone because of the sakana, and you no longer have the protection because maybe I already have fulfilled my obligation of bedika. Now I'll just be looking for my pen or my safety pin, and I don't have the protection of shomer mitzvah, yedo devara of shulchan mitzvah, ein nizaken. What it does sound, what that is apparent in this Gemara, And we're going to get to the Shluchai Mitzvah. The Gemara picks up with that discussion in the next sugya. But what is fascinating from this statement, this Brisa, which doesn't only appear here, it appears in Baba Basra and Rosh Hashanah too, that a person who gives tzedakah for an ulterior motive, so that he should have his chus as a result of the tzedakah, is considered to be good tzedakah. We do that all the time. People say, give tzedakah for this cause, for that cause. It promises this segula or that segula, right? Kupat hair, whatever you're giving tzedakah for, there's always some segula that's associated with it nowadays. Is that considered to be valid tzedakah? So it's apparent from this gemara that it is. Even though you're doing it for some other fringe benefit, it is valid tzedakah. It is valid tzedakah. The problem is, the Achrayim asks from the Gemara Masechtas Ksubis. Everybody says, look at the Gemara Masechtas Ksubis. And then Tosfos has a different kasha. The Gemara says in Masechtas Ksubis, the following story about Nachdima Ben Gurion. You might be familiar, I didn't give you the whole sugya of Nachdima Ben Gurion, but it's one of the Tisha B'Av sugyas. But the Gemara tells the story of how one of the, who was it? Was it Rabbi Kiva? No, I don't think it was Rabbi Kiva. One of the Tanaim was walking along and he saw the daughter of Nachdima Ben Gurion picking out, who was it? Picking out the barley from the dung of the excrement of the animals belonging to the Arabs. And he recognized her as being the daughter of Nachdima Ben Gurion, who was a very wealthy individual. And he said to her, how did you fall this far? And she said, well, my father never gave tzedakah. So he said, "Oy, Ashreichem Yisrael." He said at that point of time, "Ashreichem Yisrael." Now, how great is Klal Yisrael that Bizman Shayis and Sonish Hamakom Ein Um of Roshan Shulatis Behem? When Klal Yisrael is doing the Ratzon Hashem, no one can touch us. Bizman Shayin Oyis and Sonish Hamakom Mesur Nafi Biyad Um Shvela. We're handed over to the lowest of the nations, and not only to Um Shvela, but Behemton Shul Um Shvela, into the hands we're servicing the animals of the lowest nation of the world. And all of this happened as a result of the fact that Nachdima Ben Gurion didn't give tzedakah, and therefore his daughter was picking barley to eat out of the excrement of the animals belonging to the Arabs. That's the Gemara there in Ksubis. So the Gemara asks as a kind of a P.S. to that sugya of Nachdima Ben Gurion, the Ovid tzedakah. What, is this true? Nachdima Ben Gurion, this wealthy philanthropist, from the time of the Bayesheni, really wasn't giving tzedakah v'atanya. Amar Rav on Nachdima Ben Gurion, k'shayotz mi'beisoy, the Beis HaMedrash, when he would leave shul to go to the Beis HaMedrash, kli milas hayu matziyin tachtav, u'bo an aninu mekaplan oysan me'achayrav. There would be aninim lined up to ask for tzedakah. He was giving tzedakah like crazy. They would have a table, or what, you know, and everyone would be sitting, and he would handing out tzedakah. So what do you mean he wasn't giving tzedakah? So he buys aim, I think Mark gives two answers. One is, l'chvayda hudavad, he was doing it for his own covet. So don't you see a person who gives tzedakah, if it's for an ulterior motive, for some other reason, that he doesn't get the reward of tzedakah? Huh? This seems to contradict our Gemara. Our Gemara says a person gives tzedakah in order so that he should have a refuah in the family, or in order that that he should become a ben olam haba. He does receive reward. Hareza tzad the gomer, not tzad the gomer, but tzedakah gemura. He should have gotten the protection there for bedikas chametz, even though he's searching for his pen, his machat, he's doing the mitzvah shaloi lishma, he's doing it for another reason, but it's still a mitzvah. So over here, a person is giving tzedakah shaloi lishma for another reason, he should still receive the reward of the mitzvah tzedakah. Why was then Nachdima Ben Gurion punished? The fact that he gave tzedakah for his own coven. So Marsha there asks this question, Marsha responds. He says, Hai terutza mashma. Sounds like from here that if a person gives tzedakah for his own covet, he doesn't receive reward. But why? What about the person who gives tzedakah in order that he should, kadesh yichya b'ni, in order so that he should have a refuah in the family? So he says, the Shloimar, four lines from the bottom over here, this Marsha, Hai shaloi lishma lekavod hu gara tfei. When a person does something for his own covet, that's worse. That's worse. Different than a person who does it for a segula. You never see, in the advertisements in the newspapers, give tzedakah because we'll be mechabed you. You know, you'll receive great recognition and people will say your name. That's not why they do it. It's all for some other fringe benefit. But if it's just for covet is terrible. Ugh, then you lose the mitzvah of tzedakah. And where does he get this kind of distinction from? Because the Rishonim ask a similar contradiction. Rabbi said, the Gemara says later on, and in Pesachim and Daf Nun Mabez. We're familiar with it though, but we'll just look it up. Gemara says in Daf Nun Mabez, three lines from the end of the narrow lines of the Gemara, Daf Nun Mabez in Pesachim, Amar Yehuda Marav, Le'olam Yasek Olam B'Torah Mitzvahs, a person should always be involved in Torah mitzvahs, even though he's shaloi lishma. Shemitay shaloi lishma ba lishma. By doing it shaloi lishma, you'll come to do it lishma. Wow, we all know this, right? Do it even shaloi lishma. When a person is young, you do the mitzvahs for whatever reason. Person gets older, he'll begin to do it hopefully at some point, right? Hopefully. For some people, we're still waiting. But hopefully at some point, he'll start doing the mitzvahs, lishma. He starts shalai lishma, he end up doing it lishma. However, the Gemara says in Masechtas Brachos and Daf Yud Zayin Amud Aleph, ko ha'oise shalai lishma, noach loy shalai nivra. A person who learns Torah, shalai lishma, better that he would never have been created. What happened to mitach shalai lishma balishma? What happens? La oilam, a person forever, even if he never gets there. La oilam yasakon mitach mitzvah shalai lishma mitach shalai lishma balishma. What happens over here? Kol aisa shalai lishma noach loy shalai nivra. Classic stira, contradiction that's raised by Tosfos and Masechtas Brachos and elsewhere. Masechtas Saita, Masechtas Nazir, many different Masechtas. Tosfos asked this kasha. So Tosfos responds slightly different formulations in different places. The same distinction, more or less, but the formulations matter. But Tosfos basically distinguishes between a person who does it shalai lishma for some other reason, and that's okay, versus a person who does it shalai lishma lekanter, to build himself up, to challenge. So a person who does it for that reason, better you would never have been created. But if a person does it shalai lishma, you know, for whatever other reason he's doing it for, so then, so similarly over here, says Marsha, a similar distinction, that's a distinction with regards to tzedakah too. A person gives tzedakah for some other fringe benefit, that's acceptable. I raise it tzedakah gemura. But if a person does it, the shame covet, he wants, for whatever reason, he wants the recognition that goes along with it, then, that's entirely unacceptable. That's entirely unacceptable. So says the Maharsha, strong language, Rabbi, so you got to read this. He says, there'll be three lines from the bottom of the Maharsha. He says, he asked the question, many people in our generation, the generation of the Maharsha, they acquired a lot of wealth, dishonestly, I don't know what was going on in the shtetl of the Maharsha. I can't believe it was similar to what we have going on in our times. They were stealing. Every year they would buy Psicha Ne'ila, Psicha Tegeshem. Psicha Tegeshem is a big school, by the way. Psicha Tegeshem. Some people don't know that. Psicha Tegeshem. You get the sixth Hakafa, Zoizadalim. They were buying up big Kibudim, Maftir Yoina, whatever it is in your place. They were buying these big things. They were buying big mishabeirachs. That's worthless. Garnished. Waste of time. Because they're doing it only for their own covet. You give tzedakah for your own covet, it's useless. Just like Tosfos says with regards to this, the resolving the contradiction about a person who learns Torah shalai lishma. The problem is, it's not really the same. Because it's not really what Tosfos said. Look at, formulations are different in different places. There is one Tosfos that does fit with this Marsha. There's a Tosfos in Brachos. It's not really what Tosfos said. Let's look at Tosfos. Tosfos says over here, Oisvav, Vim Taiva, Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Rav, Perak Makva Shenagul, Olam Yasak, Olam Batar, Mizzah, Fiyo Shalom, Lishma, Shemitah Shalom, Lishma, Bal, Lishma, Vishloimar, Dahaka Mari Shein, Olam Eid, Ela, Lakante, Chaveirov. It's distasteful if you do it to play devil's advocate, or I do it in order to undermine legitimate learning. When is it acceptable when they're doing it in order to honor you? Also, honor isn't so bad. Honoring sounds like that's fine. That's when we say, why else are you learning, right? If you're doing a lekanter because I want to tear down, I want to disprove everything that the rabbi said, so I need to learn, right? A little knowledge is dangerous. A lot of knowledge is more dangerous. So let's say I'm learning just in order to undermine Talmid HaChachamim. So that's horrible. I'm doing it for COVID. I want to be known as the best guy in Beis Medrash. So then, that's okay. Mitash shalai lishma balishma. Look, we hopefully people would be a little bit more altruistic. But if not, okay, we'll take that too. Right? That describes a lot of people. So it sounds like that's acceptable. That's when we say mitash shalai lishma balishma. So how can we justify the Marsha's distinction? That's a kasha that's raised by the Sefer HaFlo. The Sefer HaFlo is of Pinchas Alevi Horowitz, the one of the Rabbeim of Chassam Sofer. Chassam Sofer's main Rebbe was Moshe Nadler. But one of his other Rebbeim was the Pinchas Levi Horowitz, who later became the Rebbe in Frankfurt. He was the brother of the Rebbe of Shmelka from Nikolsburg, who later became a Talmud of the Magid of Mizrich. That was his brother, Horowitz, Chassidish name. So Pinchas Halevi Horowitz was not a Chassidish. He was the Rebbe of the Sam Sefer. So over here, the Sefer HaFlo distinguishes between two different types of coven. He says, that there's really two different, he's not saying the same thing as Marsha. A person who gives tzedakah, so that he should receive reward for giving the tzedakah, that, or a person who learns, so that he should, you know, be mizgoyah from the learning itself, meaning while he's learning, he is asserting his arrogance. So then, meaning I learn in order to best my chavrusa, I learn in order to yell at people and all this, you know, to show them that, you know, to one-up them? No, that's horrible. You shouldn't do that. Then we wouldn't even say, mitosh shalai lishma ba lishma. Better stay home, read a novel. But a person who ultimately, you know, is learning lishma, when he's engaged in the process, he has humility. And he wants to learn. But he wants to be known as, you know, as throughout the world for his learning. Okay, then we'd say mitosh shalai lishma ba lishma. But when he's engaged in the process, he's doing so honestly. And he's doing so, you know, somewhat altruistically. Just, he has some back motivation in the, you know, in his subconscious. So then that's acceptable. He says, while he's doing it, he comes to shir only to ask kashas. He comes to learn his chavrusa only to one-up him. Nah, stay home. That's horrible. But a person who does it, you know, for the right reason, you know, at the time, it seems like the same as everybody else. Just he has some other, out, you know, motive behind in his head. That's when we say, so to over here, that's the difference between tzedakah, that is good tzedakah. You know, that's a person who gives tzedakah. He gives a normal tzedakah. Just he wants to get some fringe benefit later on. But he's giving tzedakah now properly, okay? So then that's harezet tzedakah gemura. Versus a person who, when he's giving the tzedakah, he's only doing so to outbid the other guy, to show that I'm the biggest macher over here in the shul. So then I'm the biggest player in town. That's terrible. That's why Nachdima Ben Gurion lost his position. It was because he gave tzedakah only the chvoidah, meaning he didn't even do it at the, you know, for some fringe benefit later on. While he was doing it, it was only for coven. That's a problem. Just one final hour on this topic. It's important to note, I don't see too many people point it out, but the Rambam has an entirely different explanation of what mitay shalai lishma ba lishma means. Because the Rambam, when he quotes this Gemara, he omits the word mitzvahs. The Rambam says, la'olam yasek adam b'tayra, shemitay shalai lishma, shemitay shalai lishma ba lishma. The Rambam never has it with regards to mitzvahs. That would resolve the contradiction entirely. Because the Gemara, perhaps, then is talking about Torah, when it says mitosh shalai lishma ba lishma, when the Gemara says, it would just be an entirely different discussion. The Rambam limits the entire discussion to only Torah. And what does it mean shalai lishma? I think the Rambam understood it entirely differently too. Rabbi says, look over here, Perek Gimel Hilchos Tam Torah Lo Chehei. The Rambam never quotes this with regards to mitzvahs, that you should do mitzvah shalai lishma, shemitosh shalai lishma ba lishma. He only quotes with regards to Torah. And even when he quotes with regards to Torah, he seems to have a different definition of lishma than we do. We typically, translate lishma, doing it for the right reasons, or Reb Chaim Volozhiner's, Nefesh HaChaim, Shar Dawud, learning Torah lishma for Torah's own sake, right? Because we don't know what connecting with the Ribbono Shel Olam means. It's just too difficult for us to define. So at least we're learning Torah for Torah's sake. I'm just doing it with this focus in mind and not something else. That's not how the Rambam learned the Torah Lishma. Rabbi, so you look at it yourself. See if you can figure out how the Rambam defined Torah Lishma. I think it mamas jumps out from the language of the Rambam. Look at that. And then we have to deal with Tais's question. What happened to not doing mitzvahs? I'm an Asa Kabo Pras. When do we apply that? And then we'll have to get into Shomer Mitzvah, Lo Yedah Davarash, Luchai Mitzvah, and Nizakin. Okay, Rabbi Samir, tomorrow we'll finish up with these. Shkoyach Rav.